So good morning.
Good morning.
I've been asked to announce that there are a lot of refreshments left over. So please take some home with you. Matter of fact, I took a picture and I sent it to my wife in between the meetings and told her that we at the Wilmington Bible Chapel really need to step up our refreshment game. Much like you, we have a Lord's Supper and then Sunday School, but we have a refreshment time in between, and it kind of varies. So we have usually two ladies that are kind of in charge each for an entire month, and you can kind of tell ahead of time, like, who's going to be in charge, and there's certain ladies who are really good at baking and cooking, and you're, like, so looking forward to next July when Sarah is in charge of the refreshments. But then you can tell the families who are like, I forgot on the way here, they went to the day-old bread store, and you're eating Krispy Kremes from last week. Speaking of refreshment time, Colin's not in here, but if you guys don't mind, I'm going to have him come up to the Wilmington Bible Chapel next Sunday. So just be prepared, your coffee's not going to be as good next week. Because our chapel is super excited about our coffee, and it's Maxwell House. The men and women will fight over cups of coffee for instant coffee. It smelled so good that I had some, and I found out recently that I'm allergic to coffee. So in a few minutes, my sinuses are going to start running, and I'm going to start coughing, but it was totally worth it from my perspective. For you guys, it might not be, so I'll go ahead and apologize. But I also wanted to say, as we begin, I want to thank you for the warm welcome that I received when I got here this morning. First of all, when I walked in the door, the first person said, "Whoa, who's this guy?" So thank you for that warm welcome. The second person, I'm not going to say any names, but I'm looking right in her general directions, asked me when I joined ISIS. And then as she made those threats at me, somebody asked if they should call the police. In between meetings, my dad asked if I would be interested in going first. I said, sure. And then he mentioned that I was welcome to leave after the meeting if I wanted to. So I wasn't sure if he was trying to get rid of me as well. So thank you for having me. I'll keep this short. Again, one last thing before we begin. Just wanted to thank you for your prayers and your support. Our chapel and our chapel family had a storm named Florence come through back in September. I've been in Wilmington for 42 years now, and this was the most devastating, catastrophic storm I had ever been a part of. I tend to try to stay and ride them out. We've been through several category threes, one category four, but this one, for whatever reason, just sat right on top of us for two or three days, and because of the continued winds and the continued rain, I've seen more damage from this storm than probably all the other storms combined. So again, just wanted to thank you for that. But man, how encouraging was the body of Christ to us during that time? And that was really one of the motivations for this message this morning, is the way the body of Christ around the world really just built us up as a body. One story that I can share, and there's many more that I could share. There was money coming in from around the world from other bodies of believers to help support us. People we've never met. People didn't know what our needs were. They just sent money. I wasn't joking about being allergic to the coffee, by the way. So one quick story that I thought was really interesting that just shows you how amazing our God can be and how He works through individuals. We had filed an insurance claim, and the insurance company sent us a check to cover some of the expenses. And as we were having estimates done, one estimate from a company that we really wanted to use, we trusted them, we've used them in the past, we came up about $1,500 short from the insurance company offer compared to what the contractor was asking for. So as we were spending a couple of days in prayer trying to decide what's the best way to handle this, do we want to just go ahead and do it, is it worth the extra money, a family came to us and shared a need that we had a widow that was having a leak in her roof that was caused by the hurricane, and she did not have wind and hail on her house, and so she was going to have to pay out of pocket. And that was going to be about $6,000. So now we're looking at about $7,500 shortfall of covering all the needs for the chapel. So in the middle of one of our prayer meetings, one of the men got a phone call from his wife saying, "Hey, I just checked the mail, and we have a check from, it wasn't the Stewards Foundation, but it was something similar. Do you want to guess how much the check was for?" $7,500. And it was at that moment that you just sit back and you go, man, that totally has to be from the Lord. If it was close to that amount, you'd say, thank you, Lord. But when it's the exact dollar amount, man, you just get goosebumps when things like that happen. Actually, it kind of happened to me this morning. I was a little bit nervous about this message because this message is just a bunch of thoughts kind of on a piece of paper, and there really isn't a direction for this message yet. So I was a little bit nervous about it. But the first three songs we sang this morning were from Bible verses. They're straight out of the passages that we're going to be sharing from this morning. So you can rest assured that I think the Holy Spirit has something for you this morning, even if he's going to have to correct or speak through me to get that done. But we sang hymn number 151, and it said, "Down from the throne eternal," and hymn number 72, which was, "Thou art worthy." And we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. Please turn in your Bibles with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. So you may remember in the past when I've spoken with you, I do something different. I don't like New Year's resolutions because I usually fail by the end of the first day. So I had recently, about 3 years ago, started this new concept called My One Word. And so what I've done is each year for the last 3 years, sought the Holy Spirit's guidance, talk to my family, talk to my wife, talk to my friends around me, and just ask for suggestions on some things that I could maybe look at in improving in myself to become more like a child of God. So the first word I chose was surrender. Then I looked at leadership, and last year I did purpose. So for 2019, my word is edification. The building up. And this really started back in September as money started coming in, as friends and family from around the country started asking how they could help the body of believers at the Wilmington Bible Chapel. So edification, in Google it says, the instruction or improvement of a person morally or intellectually. Merriam-Webster says, to instruct and improve, especially in moral and religious knowledge. When I looked up the synonyms, I found words like uplift, improve, educate, enlighten, inspire, and nurture. So in 2019, my word is going to be edification. So as I read through the word in the year, as I attend messages or conferences, or I'm listening to other people speak, I'm always going to try to be listening for that word edification and looking for ways to implement that in my life. So this morning, I wanted to share with you some things I've already learned and where I'm hoping to take my Bible study for 2019. 2 years ago, I was taught a spiritual gifts class for Sunday school. We really focused on the spiritual gifts and what they were, what they meant, what the meaning behind them was, and then how to implement those in life. But I found something really interesting, and I made a note to myself. I wanted to come back at some point and study them a little more carefully. One of the reasons why is if you look at the four different passages in Scripture where spiritual gifts are discussed, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, our passage today, and 1 Peter 4. It talks about the gifts, but there's two other things that are present in all four of those passages, and it really stood out. Usually if there's something that continues or there's some similarities in passages, I feel like that's the Holy Spirit really trying to tell us this is what is important. So this morning we're going to take a look at what those other two points were. But before we get into those points, let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. Let's set the stage on where these spiritual gifts come from. Ephesians 4, 7. "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led the captive, a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. So Paul here is quoting David from Psalm 68. And we're not going to spend much time on it this morning, but just wanted to set the stage on how these spiritual gifts came to be. In the Old Testament, it was quite common that a king would join his army in battle, especially if it was a really difficult or a large battle. And the king would, they would win the battle. And as they would come back into their own kingdom, as the king would return back to his throne, he would share, based on his own desires, on his own will, he would share the spoils of the war with everyone from the city, regardless of whether you were involved in the battle or not. And this is the picture in Psalm 68, and the picture here that Paul is referring to in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. This is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, as we sang this morning in our first hymn, left his throne on high to come to the battlefield of earth to fight a battle against sin and death that he won through the death and resurrection. And as he returned to his kingdom, to his throne, in Ephesians 4, it tells us that he is going to lavish or distribute gifts to his people based on his own goodwill to be used for the common good. Man, what a beautiful picture it is. So let's keep reading and see what happens after we receive these gifts. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some of the, as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of his stature, fullness, which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto him who is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of individual parts, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So hopefully as you were listening, you heard the word that I'm looking for in 2019. It's kind of interesting because the word edification can have different meanings and different connotations. But in this passage, Paul uses the word building or building up. And we saw that in verse 12 when he says to the building up of the body of Christ. And we saw it again in verse 16 when he says building up of itself, the church, the body, in love. So again, in 2019, this is my goal, is to spend time learning more about this concept of building up and how do we do that as a body? How can I do that individually to my family, to my friends, to the body of believers, and to the unbelievers who are around me? This word has a unique concept. Paul's kind of famous for taking two words and kind of cramming them together and making up his own word. And this is one of those cases where this is usually two words for building and house. We see this word in Acts chapter 7 as well when we hear about Solomon building a temple. So it can have a literal connotation where you're actually building a building, in this case a temple, but it can also have a figurative meaning like in Matthew 8 when God says, or when Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my church. So it's that figurative aspect that I'm looking at this morning and in 2019. So how do we edify? How do we build up one another? Let's go back to our text again in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. So in verse 11, he's explaining some of the gifts. For a more complete list, you can go to Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Peter 4. But here he lists apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. Why? Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Building up of the body of Christ. Has anybody ever been involved in the building of a house process? Has anybody bought land and then got to help choose what type of house, what type of structure? Is it a first floor or second floor? Just a show of hands of anybody's been involved through multiple stages. Great. So if you put your hand up, you have now just volunteered to help me build a house. But we're going to do it figuratively. So let's just say I've got this piece of land, and I'm getting ready to build the house. What are some of the first steps I would be doing in my house building process? What would come first? So I need some permits. I need to make sure all the legal fees are involved. I've purchased the land. I've paid the taxes or whatever I need to do, right? So that's already been done. What's next step?
Foundation.
Do we want to do anything before we build the foundation? We need a design. We need a foundation plan. We need a survey. We need an outline. We need to decide what I want to do. We need to decide on our own opinions first. What's next?
Hire a contractor.
I like where your mind is set. Right? I need timelines.
Budget.
How much money? Let's not worry about a budget.
Okay.
Please don't tell my wife I said that. What else do we need? Let's make sure the land is ready, right? Are there trees in the way that I need this property, right? How many people have been involved in this process already? We haven't even started construction, and we've got permits, we need surveys, I need advice, taxes, I need power sent, so I need to have the city involved. Man, we haven't even started with the foundation yet, and we've got like six different groups of people. Now we're laying the foundation. Who have I hired to lay a foundation? I tried to combine two words. There was Paul, right? We got excavation, we got bricklayers, we've got concrete.
Possibly plumbers.
Plumbers, right? Usually you have the lines for electricity and plumbing already dug and ready before the concrete's laid, especially if you're on a slab. All right, so now we've got the concrete. What's next?
Coffee.
Coffee. Where's Colin? Colin, they need a refill.
Yeah.
Good, right? So none of us are super experts in any one. Maybe we're an expert in one of these, but unless you just happen to be a contractor in here, and nobody got super excited when we talked about this, I'm going to assume we're not. We need materials, right? So as we start building this house, we've got different types of people involved in this process from before it begins through the end. And even after your house is built, I'm still going to need to involve some of these people because long term, I'm going to need some repair. At some point in time, a light switch is not going to work. At some point in time, the plumbing's probably going to back up. So regardless of how old my house is, I'm still going to have people involved. And I want us to keep this idea of building up in our mind as we continue the rest of this message. And as you go forward, thinking about what does edification look like when it belongs to or implied with spiritual gifts. Because I think this is a great illustration of what it's like to be a part of the body of Christ. None of us know all aspects of what it's like to be a Christian. None of us know all aspects and how I can help encourage one another. But each of us have been specifically gifted by our King as we return back to His glory, to His throne. He's gifted us in specific ways that we can each be a part of building the church. So maybe some of us are the ones who can help get the permits. Maybe some of us are the plumbers or the electrician. Maybe some of us are the brick masons. Maybe some of us are carpenters. But as we build a church physically, each of us are going to have our role. And as we build our church figuratively, we're each going to have a role as well. So in my mind, I thought that illustration really brought home to me what it means to truly build up and how that can relate to the body of Christ. So earlier I mentioned that in the other three passages, there are two commonalities. So let's take a look at those. Just for the sake of time, we're not going to turn, but I would challenge you at some point in time today or tomorrow or in the near future, take a look. But what's super interesting is in Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4, 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12. There are two other things other than just gifts that are mentioned each time we read about the gifts, and they are the word edification and the word love. In Romans 12, we hear the word love without hypocrisy. It says to be devoted to one another in love, give preference to one another in love, and devoted to one another and contributing to their needs. The same concept as edification. In 1 Corinthians 12, we see gifts, edification, and love. And we hear the verse in verse 7 where it says the gifts, the body should work together for the common good. We see let there be no division in 1 Corinthians 12. And we see care for one another. Matter of fact, Paul follows this outline in the next three chapters. In chapters 12, he talks about the gifts. In chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, he talks about love. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he talks about church life and how the gifts and love get played out. And at the end of chapter 14, he says, let all of these things, which I think includes partly in mine, 12, 13, and all of 14, let all these things be done for edification. In 1 Peter 4, he mentions love, edification, and then the gifts, and says, serve one another, keep fervent in your love, and be hospitable. And then in chapter 4 of Ephesians, which we just read, we saw gifts followed by edification and followed by love. So what's this look like? What's the end game of these three concepts of our gifts, our edification, and our love? I think we see that in verse 13 of chapter 4 of Ephesians. We all attain to the unity of faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of his stature or fullness. We see that concept, the maturity of man, echoed in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where Paul says, I used to reason as a child, but I became a man and put away childish things. We also see that in 14, verse 20 of 1 Corinthians, do not be children in your thinking. So I find it interesting that the Holy Spirit inspired the writers to speak about gifts four different times, and when they did, speak about their benefit or why we're doing it, which is edification, and the motive, which is love. And then two of the passages talk about the idea of becoming a man or growing up through this edification. So let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. So one of the ways that we do edify, we find in verse 16, the proper working for each individual part causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So how do I show edification? How do I help the body? How do I help build up? Through love. We read in 1 John chapter 4 that where does this love come from? How do I even have love to be able to use this edification? It's only because God first loved us. Man, what a great process. We go back to our illustration. So God is going to build this church. Let's just picture it as a physical building. And He's going to need several people. He's going to need contractors and electricians and carpenters and brick masons and people to level the field. So He needs these people. So He's going to pick specific people with specific gifts or talents, if you will, in each of these areas to help build His body. And He is going to help you by giving you those gifts and talents, giving you that education, if you will, to be successful in the specific things that He's going to ask you to do to help build His church. And before that, the whole foundation that we use to use these gifts to motivate us is love, which He has also given us. Man, He has so set us up for success in helping build His own kingdom. And we thank Him for that. Turn with me to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verse 1. So our first step was we edify through love. We saw that in Ephesians chapter 4. Now we're going to turn over to Romans 15, and we're going to see that we can edify through self-denial. One of the best ways I can show my wife that I love her is to deny myself, to really look for ways that can help her and put my needs on the back burner. Chapter 15, verse 1. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weakness of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself. So not only has God called us to help build his body, has gifted us to help build his body, provided us the motivation or the foundation of love to help build his body, but he's given us an example of what self-denial looks like and what true love looks like for us to follow in case we're still confused at this point. You don't need to turn there, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 it says, "With the authority which the Lord gave me for building up and not for tearing down." So he gives us an example of what the contrast would look like. Building up, tearing down. And this comes from the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, we see we should edify with encouragement. Therefore, encourage or comfort one another and build one another up, just as you are also doing. We saw a great example of this in our body of believers this past week. One of our elders, Whitney Goodson, has found a growth. Is that the right word? Something on his back that's not supposed to be there. Some sort of skin thing. After the doctor saw it and monitored it for a few weeks, they thought it might be a little bit more serious. So this past week they took all of it out just to be safe, and they have since sent it on. So this past week, he and his family did something interesting that I've never really been a part of. They did an open house prayer meeting between the hours of 6 and 8. If you'd like to stop by at any time during those 2 hours and pray for the family, they would love to have you. So that was super interesting, something I had not necessarily been a part of. But as I was leaving, he had mentioned something to me that really stuck out with this passage. And he said, "Hey, thank you for your encouragement. This has been a great comfort to the family." Wow, that's exactly what the Lord is asking us to do right here in 1 Thessalonians. It wasn't hard work. Literally all we had to do was drive across town, sit in there on the couch for 20 minutes, drink some coffee, eat a snack, and pray for just a few minutes with another family. And that built them up, and that was edification. What was our motivation? Man, we love this family. We've known this family since I was 5, I think. So that motivation is love. God has provided us with some ability and some talents to be able to do this. So we're really just following God's commands. But man, it really encouraged and built them up. In Acts chapter 9, we're encouraged to edify with our example when he says, "So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up and going on in fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it continued to increase." So by simply living a life in the fear of the Lord, encouraged others, and it built the church to a point that it was infectious, and other people, as it says, throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria were enjoying peace and increase simply by living in an exampled way. The last one that I found in the first part of our series on edification was found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. So if you're still there, we'll read that. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. "But speak truth in love. We are to grow up in all aspects unto him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of the individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." Speak truth in love. So another way that we can start looking at ways to edify or build each other up and build up the body of Christ is through what we say. Speaking truth in love. What does it do? It causes the growth for the body, for the building up of itself in love. So the king left his throne, came to earth, and fought a battle, the greatest battle over sin and death. Returning to his throne victorious, he distributed gifts amongst his people. How did he distribute it? According to his own will. According to the good, the common good of all. He's asked us to use those specific gifts to do what? To edify his own body. Today we've looked at a few different ways that we can do that, whether that's through self-denial, through love, through our words, through our examples, in building one another up. He's provided us the motivation or the foundation through love, which we saw in 1 John chapter 4. How cool is it that we get to be a part of this amazing plan to help encourage each other with the power and the love that God has given us? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for an opportunity to read your word this morning and see what you have for us. We thank you for these examples that Paul brought up to us in these four passages, whether it be the gifts followed by its purpose of edification, followed by its motivation, which was love. Father, I thank you for this body of believers and the encouragement and the support they were to our body throughout Hurricane Florence. We thank you for your body around the world that went above and beyond to build up, to edify your body, the church, to your glory and to your honor. We thank you for this time. In your son's name, amen.